Got special music today. We're going to mix things around here a little bit. This group is called Just Because, and it's got all these fine ladies up here, to which one of them is my sister, and I ain't never heard them sing. So if it's not good, well, anyhow, girls, have at it.
As Paul said, and yes, I am his sister, I'll take all your pity. Thank you. If you ever want to hear a story about him, just ask me. I have tons. We are Just Because. We've been singing together about a year and a half. And I'm just going to introduce us. Starting on my left is Nancy Horton, Peggy Burrier, Brenda Ripley. Y'all know who I am. And our pianist, Lisa Matea. We're going to sing three songs for you this morning, Round the Riverside, I've Been Changed, and Heaven's Jubilee.
Down by the river.
Down by the river.
Lay my burden down.
Gonna lay down my burden.
Down by the riverside.
Down by the riverside.
Down by the riverside.
Down by the riverside.
Gonna lay down my burden.
Down by
the riverside. Down by the riverside.
Down by the river.
Down by the river.
Lay my burden.
Children, I wandered home in a bare desert land to and fro.
rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, headed for the Jubilee yonder in the skies. What a day of singing, what a day of shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. What a day of glory,
okay, now that I've heard them, now I'm glad they came. But I'm always worried when I see my sister, because whatever stories you're going to try to tell anybody, these people around here know they can't possibly be true. Shh! Now, daggone it! Open your Bibles up, Romans chapter 8. And it's funny, the last song you sang. I know that song, and it ties to today's message. Romans chapter 8, starting in the 18th verse. Paul writing to the Romans. He's giving them encouragement. He's letting them know that, yes, you're here working, and it ain't a lot of fun. Something's waiting to take you on. Something's out there. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemptions of our bodies. For this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not have yet, let us wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be comforted to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. Let us have a moment to ask God's blessing on this passage. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to be spent together. Set us at labor now. Not with what is to come when we leave outside the door or for whatever else it is that we're waiting for, but let us be at labor searching your word today. Waiting for that moment when it is clearly revealed as to what will keep us close to you for the time to come yet this week. Lift us up, Father, we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now I know because I get so used to routine that once I'm thrown out of gear, sometimes I forget where I'm at. And so we know that there was joys and concerns to be shared today, and we know who, what, where, how, and when. So just keep them on your hearts today. But as a special moment, I would ask that you would especially keep Brian Kiefer in your prayers as he is in the hospital. Keep him lifted up and keep him saved. His name is Igor. Yes, Igor. And he's one of my heroes. And before you start thinking you know where I'm going, you don't have a clue. No, he's not some humpback bell ringer in a tower somewhere in France. Igor was one of my heroes, even today, and it was during a period in time in studying him that I discovered there was more about him than I ever knew. You see, I look at Igor because he had a mechanical sense. He was a mechanic, which meant engines, wrenches, oil, dirt, all the things that make life for me the best. And I studied up on him. I know an awful lot about him. But it wasn't until I started prepping up for this sermon that I discovered more about Igor than I had ever known. Igor wrote two books. Two books. The first one was called The Invisible Encounter, a plea for spiritual rather than material power as the great need of our day. And the other book he wrote was called The Message in the Lord's Prayer. Both of these books are out of print, so I'm going to be on a long search to find them. I need to see these books because I never knew that this man had this love for Jesus Christ, that he had this certain rigid straightforwardness for the book from which we read, that what he said, and I got an excerpt from one of his books, is that this book, above all else, leads, guides, directs, and lifts me. Amen. Now that's Igor. That's my hero. But Igor is my hero for an entirely different reason. Well, now I've got more to be about him. Igor's real name is Ivanovich. And he was born in Kiev, Russia, sometime on or about 1899. And he was an interesting young man. He spent his time roaming through the woods of his beautiful and beloved Russia. He spent all his time trying to figure out how and why this tree grew this way. And then when he was introduced to his first combustion engine, well, that was all it took. He became enamored with an engine. And at 12 years old, he built his first model of what was to become his legacy. Later on, in 1919, Ivan immigrated to the United States with a lot of money to set up a company. You see, Ivan was responsible for building the first multi-winged, fixed-winged, multi-engined aircraft. Later on, he went to build the airplanes that Pan American became famous for flying over the ocean, calling the great flying boats. And none of that is to be dismissed, but Ivan's greatest compliment to the human race, next to his books and to his belief in Jesus, was one of the things that tickles my fancy. Ivan's last name was Sikorsky. Making any sense yet? Ivan pioneered the helicopter. Ivan said that I can build the helicopter the way it's supposed to be, the way it's supposed to be built. After building his first one out of rubber bands at 12 years old, helicopters had tried to been built, but Ivan developed the style that you see today. because he believed that within that simple framework would be not a machine used to display military might, but a machine used to save lives. And so valiant became the efforts that each year helicopter pilots that have done great and tremendous things in rescue get the Sikorsky S, which is a big fancy S with a set of wings on it that he denoted. I love helicopters. They are, to me, one of the most fascinating pieces of equipment that have ever been put on the ground, and I want to fly one. Now, you think about me being turned loose with one of those things. I've got a book at home that shows how to build your own backyard helicopter. When me and Wendy first got together, I said, you know, I got just about enough pieces to build one of these. I can build us a little two-seater thing, and when we go down to visit your father, we can fly down there. And she looked at me and said, you'll be by yourself. She don't have much faith in me. They are a fascinating and an incredible tool. And recently, I've loved them ever since I was in high school. I wanted to go fly helicopters. I wanted to do it in the worst possible way. I went to the military recruiting office, and the man at the military desk said, you want to fly helicopters? What makes you think you can fly helicopters? I said, because I can run a five-stick case backhoe. And he goes, what's that? I said, that's why I can fly a helicopter. He said, all right, man. Well, he pushed papers across to me. He said, first we're going to send you to basic training, and we're going to send you to officer school, and then we're going to get you all situated, and you'll be flying helicopters for the United States Army. I said, all right. He said, how attached are you to that hair? I said, well, it grew out of my head, and it was down, you know. And he goes, well, we're going to cut that all off. I don't fly helicopters today. But I'm still in love with such an incredible tool that can sit down and take off. In 1998, I spent 32 days working in Canada in January, restoring power during the Urgence Verglace. That's French for emergency ice storm. Some of you may remember that. And we'd be in a field in the middle of nowhere, and suddenly a helicopter would appear, set down, drop our supplies, you know, coffee and gloves and work tools and things we need, and then take off again. And I've always been fascinated with them, but it wasn't until recently when we sat in a hospital room, Chris and I did, when Suzanne was in there getting her treatment, she had a bird's eye view of the brand new landing pad out there at Meredith's Hospital. And of course, when we went to see her, one came in. So I let Chris talk to her while I, oh, look at that thing. We sat and talked, and I remember walking back over to the window, and the man got in it, and I turned around to talk to her, and when I looked, he was gone. Suddenly lifted. All this effort, all this work, all this time, Paul is writing to the Romans, whatever you're doing right now, whatever sufferings you have, whatever is going on in your life, I'm telling you right now that through the death of Jesus Christ, you're going to be suddenly lifted one day. And what song did you sing at the end? Now, is that crazy or what? Amen. He's writing it there. He's telling us, look, you're going to be under perseverance. I'm sorry. You're here right now. You're going to work right now. You're going to be called to give more of yourself than you could ever possibly imagine at any given time. And he wasn't just talking to the Romans at that time, or even the saints that had yet to be persecuted and killed by Nero. He was writing something that would later become a basis for us Christians to live our life by. Sorry, we got to work hard. That's how it is. Igor fascinated me. But what fascinated me was his love and devotion to Jesus Christ. I will find those books. And remember, my birthday is just right around the corner, you know, in September. It's a big corner. But what he wrote, and I got to read a little bit of it because the internet is so good with that kind of stuff, He wrote that everything that he has done on this earth, everything that he has accomplished, everything that he has become is for naught if you don't focus on what Jesus Christ did and laid out for you. All the power, all the material, all the everything that he had was for nothing were it not from his guiding hand. I tell you, that makes me love the helicopter even more. But that's us Christians. That's what Paul writes to us here. He writes to us that we are more than conquerors. We are more than somebody looking for an end. We are somebody that is working until all of a sudden, you're suddenly lifted away. Whatever that time may be. Whether you pass from this earth before he comes back, or whether you're working in the field and then you're in heaven. And we have been working pretty hard here the past couple weeks. And so it's time for us to stop and remember what we're working for. That's the part that gets forgotten. Too many times we burrow down our brow and we fold our head down and got to do this for the church and I got to do this and oh, I got to do this again and here comes this thing and I got to take care of that and this needs doing and that needs doing and we get to working and we get to putting our head further and further down and we forget to stop and look up because that is what's waiting just around the corner. We get to go to heaven. Because you said, save me, Jesus. I believe in you. I've never seen you, but I have my faith in you. We get to go to heaven. Doesn't that make you smile a little bit? Isn't there a thought there inside of your head? That's what Paul is writing. Your future is secure. When this world falls away, and it will, and make no mistake, I like to joke and carry on a little bit. But everything that I love ain't going to matter a bit to what waits up there. That's the thing that we need to keep remembering about. Yeah, I keep saying up there, like it's some kind of mystical place. Maybe I need to go back and reread you what the walls of heaven look like, what the floors of heaven look like. You heard the old story about the rich man who decided that when he died, he was going to make sure that he carried his bars of gold along with him into the pearly gates. And as he approached, St. Peter was standing there. He said, hey, man, no luggage in here. And the man said, I worked for this all my life. I'm bringing this with me. And somebody else opened up his luggage for a minute. And inside were all these gold bars. And they turned to St. Peter and they said, oh, don't worry about it. He's just bringing more paving for the road in heaven. None of this. And I love my stuff. Come to my house. You'll be coming to my house probably in the fall when we have the picnic. Come to my house sometime. For those of you that have been there, you'll see. I love my tractors and toys and balers and steam engines and thrash machines and sawmills and motorcycles and all the toys I've got everywhere of tractors and gas engines and motorcycles and stuff. I love it all. But it's all going to be behind. It all means nothing to me if I can't make sure that each and every time I get that moment, I tell somebody about the love of Christ and what you don't have to suffer through. And Paul is hammering that home again. He says he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he glorified. That be you. You're suddenly lifted out. One day you were this mired down in the mud, slopping along sinner. You ever got stuck good and proper in the mud? Right? You got your knee boots on, and they come all the way up to here, and you figure there ain't no possible way you can get out of them things. And so you're a stupid young boy who goes running down through the mud to get the cows in for the dairy, and you take your first step, and that thing grabs onto the boot, and you're still running, but the boot's behind, and now the mud's up your knee, and the next thing, there goes the other boot off, and you're running through the mud in your socks. I've never done that much. And then here comes your grandfather. Come here. And he's on board the tractor, because he's smarter than you are by about 20 years. And he gets you in the bucket and he go get your boots and then he stands and laughs at you while he hoses you off. But he lifted you out. That was you. Sin. Just covered in it. And you reached up and said, I can't take this anymore. Jesus, save me. Suddenly lifted out. Just like those rescue copters I love. when the person is laying on the ledge, and I read story after story after story, whether they had been on a trail, whether they had been in a car crash, whatever, and they said when they heard them saved, imagine what it's going to be like on that day we hear the trumpet. Kid it not, folks. I make no bones when I say this. Make sure you understand where I'm coming from. I don't want any misconception. I firmly believe that it could happen right this very minute. And we're gone. Suddenly lifted away. I hope that we'll be nobody here and a bunch of food downstairs that won't get eaten. But I firmly believe in that. Why? Because of this book. Because I believe that one day I'll be suddenly listed, lifted, taken out. We work so hard, sometimes we forget to look at what is coming. How many people in here have picked green beans? Hands up. Should be pretty near everybody. Peggy, didn't you never pick no green beans? Get your hand up in the air. What happened when you pick green beans, right? Now, you're about, oh, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years old, and you're picking green beans. I gotta pick these green beans. Oh, I gotta pick these green beans all the time. I get sick and tired of picking these green beans. My father's favorite statement was always like, you like eating them, don't you? Yeah, but you pick them. I'll go pick corn. That's easy. What'd you do when you're about halfway down the row and you had to be in my father's garden? My father's garden is about 7 miles long, or at least it seemed like it, 9 years old. And his bean rows go on forever in a day. What'd you do when you was about halfway down the bean row? You stood up and you looked. Man, I'm almost there. And then you picked a little while, you picked a little while, and you carried on a little while. And then every now and then you heard that voice from the other bean row, just pick the beans and be quiet. And you'd look up, oh man, I'm almost there. You get back down, pick a little more, pick a little. And then suddenly you look up and you're at the end of the row. Woohoo! And your father would say, all right, turn around and start the next row. And he had something like 13,000 rows. That's us Christians. Yes, we're working down that row. Stop and look up for a minute. Stop and look at what's ahead. Don't forget what this is all about. You didn't just take Jesus into your heart one day and say to yourself, all right, now I'm a Christian. No, you took it in because you believed and you wanted to grow and you wanted to get rid of that inward groaning. Yes, this is Pentecost Sunday. Yes, Jesus sent what He sent. He sent the Holy Spirit, the great Comforter, so that no matter what, when we pray, no matter how bad we mess it up, He takes it and straightens it out. He knows. Suddenly, when you're in the middle of everything that's pressing down on you, suddenly when you're being pushed on, suddenly when your life looks around and you say, I can't take it, and you fall that moment into your knees in prayer, you're suddenly lifted. If you ain't felt that after prayer, then I'll help you the next time. I can't tell you how many times I've had just about all I can take, and in prayer, on the other end of it, sometimes I think God's going to look down at me when I get to that point, and He's going to answer me during my prayer going, why didn't you call me sooner, dummy? Because we don't think about it. Paul wants us to be in point of that. He wants us to know. He was writing that letter to the Romans that this is a great thing, that you're going to be glorified, that you're going to be lifted up, that yes, you're going through these pains right now, but you will grow out of it. The writers in Hebrews saw it as much. And in the 10th chapter, they wrote these words. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering? You remember when you first became a Christian? Chest is all puffed out. All right, world, give me what you got. And 6 minutes later, you were like, okay, that's enough. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. If he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Amen. You know the best thing about picking beans? And no, it ain't snapping them. You know the best thing about picking beans? Is when you hear that pot singing on that stove with that ham broth in there. And you know. And you can sit down and before your fork hits that first bean, your father looks at you and goes, see, wasn't it fun picking beans? No. It'd be fun eating them, though. But you're suddenly lifted away from the work that you had just done to the reward that you get. Jesus Christ is the same way. He's telling you right now that for as much as you're working over here, you will suddenly be lifted away. I'll take you out. I'll stop the groaning. Why do we forget that? Why is it that we decide to live on our own even though we've accepted? Why is it that some people can pick up this book and say, well, it don't mean what it says? Paul answers that too. He lets us know that very carefully there will be those set about to destroy you by shaking the very faith of that which you know, the truth. When you get into that situation, don't let it drag you down. David wrote it as much. God had put it on his heart in his Psalms. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts all those who are bowed down. The Lord upholds all those who fall. Have you ever fallen? Was it like 5 minutes ago? Was it earlier this morning? You fell sometime this week, didn't you? Sometime this week. Come on, you know where you fell. Standing in the grocery checkout line. Come on. When somebody cuts you off in traffic. Come on. If you have children, oh, I'll guarantee you fell. When you decided to run your mouth about somebody who's in trouble, and you wanted to run them down a little bit, when you let that moment slip by, when you fell, you still belong to the Most High God. You are still the one that Jesus saved, and you fell down. And like that helicopter, I'm telling you, he appears overhead, and David writes it there, and lifts up all those who are bowed down. One of the funniest stories I read in this was a girl that had to be saved off a trail just over here in Maryland by a helicopter because she fell off the trail. Anybody care to know why? Because at that point in time, her much intelligent boyfriend decided to propose to her as they walked along a dangerous trail on the side of a mountain. That's a story straight out of Baltimore paper last year. They had a helicopter in to get her. She wasn't hurt much. Messed up her leg and her arm a little bit. She got so excited she fell off the trail. I thought that was pretty funny. When I proposed to Wendy, she ran away from me at first. We wasn't on no trail. She said the same thing. She said, when I laid there in pain and heard those rotors beating and saw that cable coming down, I knew I was saved. And I'm telling you right now, brothers and sisters, when I've laid in my fallen position, which happens a lot, and I pray out of it, you feel that suddenly lifted feeling. You feel it being lifted up. That's the beauty and glory. And so much more so, Paul even goes on to let it be known. Don't hold that just in here. Find someone and tell them. Hey man, I love it when people look at me and go, I can't believe you became a preacher. Really? You're surprised? Me too. Now let me talk to you about Christ. That's where we get it from. For as much as we were lifted, so can we lift. For as much as we fall down, so others can fall. But it all comes under the same thing, a sudden grace in God. A sudden lifting. I just ask you to think about that. That even on this day of Pentecost, can you imagine 120 people sitting in a room, 120 men, sitting in a room when the Spirit of God moved upon them and they were suddenly lifted. Grab that feeling and go out and find someone and show them what you know. Amen? Let's pray. You have given us so much. And we can be proud to know that. Not boastful, proud, that smile that's on our heart, that joy that's in our face, not happiness, joy. We walk around with that. I pray that we don't hide it inside to those around us. Give us that spirit of strength, that we may lean over to someone and go, hey, I know things are tough right now. Can I pray with you? Can I tell you a little something about Jesus or what went on in church? Can I be here for you? Can I show you how I was lifted up and so can you be? And on the return of your Son, we don't seek for a date or to mark something on a calendar or to sit around and wait on it. We sit around ready to work until that day comes when we get to the end of the row. We all believe that He's coming back. We all believe that in the blink of an eye, in an instant, we will be raptured away. We all believe that there is those out there of our loved ones who do not yet acknowledge Jesus Christ and His power. We pray that You give us the Spirit to go out and help be the rescue of those lives. Help be the rescue. And moreover, give us the strength to get through our daily tasks. So that the world will measure us as Christians, not just as those people that go to church. That we can show Jesus through ourselves. We also pray that You're with those who are not with us today. Due to sickness, distress, unable to be here because of traveling, keep them safe, Father. Lift them up and bring them back. And for those that care for us in all capacities, be with them, their families, their loved ones. Thank You, Father, for Jesus, who saved each and every one of us. And through His name we pray. Amen. If you have that particular need this morning, if you are in need of prayer, if you're in need of strengthening, right up front, we sing this last hymn, don't be afraid to come forward. Let me pray with you. Let somebody come up and pray with you. And if you still don't know Jesus quite right yet, why not today?
Okay, please stand and turn to page 390.
Thank you. And so today, as we proceed forward into what the world has to offer, I pray that as your path be laid out, that while it be filled with trials and tribulations, that you simply reach up, be lifted, and move on. And so unto each and every one of you, I pray the blessings of heaven rest upon you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore.